Now, without a doubt, one of the biggest news stories in Cork over the last year was the story of Neil Prendeville. You will remember that back in November, the Irish Examiner published allegations that Neil had committed a lewd act, as it's been put, on board a flight from London to Cork, and that this act was seen by Aer Lingus cabin crew and by a reporter, Niamh Hennessy. What you may not know is that Neil's contract with 96FM was subsequently terminated. A number of weeks ago, the DPP then said there would be no charges brought against Neil. And, following on from that, we can reveal that Neil will be back on air, presenting his programme on Monday morning, just after nine. But ahead of that, he joins me live in studio. Neil, good morning to you.
Morning, PJ. Good morning, everybody.
Neil, I suppose where we start with this one is really, I mean, you and I have known each other for nigh on a quarter of a century. So, you know, how do you start? I suppose on a personal level, I have to begin by asking you, how are you?
I am worried, frightened, hopeful, sorry, apologetic, grateful, and perhaps, if things go according to plan going forward, very lucky.
You apologised back in November. You have continued, I think, in fairness, to apologise repeatedly any chance you got.
Well, you know, it's been 5 months. I really didn't think in my darkest days that I would ever be here again, and in the early days I really didn't think it would take so long. I didn't have an opportunity to say anything over the past 5 months for all sorts of different reasons. I didn't want to add fuel to the fire. I was also constrained by agreements that I had reached with UTV and 96FM. But every day of my life for the past 5 months I have asked for forgiveness, and I have asked for, and I have apologized, and I have said sorry every single day for, how would I put it, for crashing into people's lives uninvited in the manner in which I did. And every day I've asked them to forgive me, and I've asked them to accept my apologies. I can do no more than that, than, you know, hold my hand up as I did at the outset. And I say it again mm-hmm. now, you know, unreservedly, that I did cause some form of offence to people on that flight, and it's something that I will never forget, and it is something that I will never stop apologizing and regretting. I have also apologized every day to my family, primarily to my wife and my two children.
How are they?
They're good. Paula, PJ, you know Paula as long as you know me. She's a very strong person. She's a very strong individual. It would be untrue of me to say that she didn't have difficult days. It would be untrue of me to say that it wasn't tough. It was very hard for her. She has stood by me. I hope that will be the case going forward, and that you know, that the event won't define me for the rest of my life. I think that I think she's always been a very, very strong individual. And while, you know, I suppose while I would be the kind of guy who would look at the glass half empty, she very much looks at the glass half full, you know, and was always a lot more optimistic and kept me, or at least attempted to keep me, as positive as I could over the past 5 months.
There's a lot of questions, as you'd imagine, that people want to ask, and I'm going to ask as many of them as I can. We'll go back to that night, and you're on record as saying you cannot remember exactly what happened on the flight. When did you become aware that something had happened?
When we had gone We had gone to London on that flight. I think it was a Tuesday, and it was a day flight. So we came back. We came back that night, and then two days later, we went. Myself and Paula went on an Aer Lingus flight to Marrakesh, which she had bought me a weekend break for my birthday. And it was while I was there, I got a call from Fusion PR, who were the company that organized that press trip to London. And I suppose initially I was confused because I thought it had something to do with the flight that I had just gone out on. But I got some of the information from Fusion, and I just completely panicked, you know. I mean, you just lose all sense of reason or proportion, or your body almost goes into shutdown, you know. You completely panic. And they had said, look, I said, well, you know, a call had been made to Aer Lingus by TV3. So I called Paul Byrne to say, you know, what's going on, and he gave me some of the detail as to what was supposed to have happened. And then I was in Marrakesh for another couple of days, so I had all of this with me while I was there. And you know, when I came back, you know, I probably should have said something to Paul at the time, but I was in shock.
And were you hoping it would go away?
You do, don't you? I mean, isn't that what everybody hopes? You pray, you make deals, you promise that if this sorts itself out, you know, this is a career-ending incident.
Did you try to contact anybody, like, for example, Niamh Hennessy?
Well, I don't want to draw Niamh into this too much, PJ, because I do respect people's privacy.
Okay.
I do respect the fact that Niamh was involved in something that was in no way, shape, or form of her making. She didn't ask to be involved in all of this for the past 5 months, and I'm sure that she continues to live with it, as do perhaps, you know, other people on the flight as well. But when I got back and got back to work on the Monday, I did talk to Fusion, and I said, you know, if there was an offence caused, I would like to apologise to the people involved. So that would have been Aer Lingus, Seamus Heaney, who was sitting on my left-hand side, and Niamh, who was sitting on my right. And that was thought to be a good idea. Although I did say, look, I don't want to be caught. I didn't have phone numbers for the people involved. Yeah. So I said, you know, it would be a good idea for you to call them in advance and see if everybody would be okay with me taking, you know, calling them and offering a sincere apology. And that was done. I don't believe that Fusion got to talk to Aer Lingus, but they told me it was okay to call the other two, and I spoke to Seamus Heaney and apologised, and he was very understanding, and he was, you know, very grateful for the call. But I ended up going to Niamh's voicemail, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I left a voicemail apology. And I think everybody knows that, you know, the rest is history.
It's been printed. It's been well documented.